Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 106. Today, Rob asks, without joining the military or knowing someone from the military, what is the best way to research for military sci-fi writing? So, it's a good question, Rob. Single best way. If I had to pick a single best way, I would say reading the memoirs of soldiers, especially the unfiltered memoirs of soldiers. Okay, there's a few different things that you need to get right when it comes to military SF, or military writing of any kind. The first and probably the most difficult is the point of view of your military characters. And that you can access through getting to know veterans, particularly veterans of foreign wars, rather than just veterans who served on base somewhere. And asking them to tell you their stories and asking them to tell you the stories they won't tell anyone else because they all have stories they won't tell anyone else. Or if you can't get them to do that, going to gatherings of veterans and looking for the guys telling war stories and shut up and listen from a corner. Reading as unfiltered as you can the memoirs of soldiers who've been in the field. That gives you the point of view. It suffuses everything. And it doesn't matter, really, the personality of the soldier or the politics of the soldier or the religion of the soldier. There is a common culture that even non-foreign war veterans have that they acquire through their training, indoctrination, and acculturation that affects the way they see the entire world. That's the baseline. The next level up from that is the sorts of distinctions you get within the military. A specialist or an engineer on a boat is going to see the world a different way than the special ops guy in the field versus an infantryman versus a cavalryman versus a mortarman versus a pilot. They've all got a very different relationship to their jobs than each other, and that relationship to their jobs affects how they see the people on the other side of the line. It affects the way they see different classes of their own colleagues and all that sort of thing. So then you've got that, and then you've got the individual personality type and experiences and beliefs of the particular soldiers on top of that. Different branches of the military have differences in the way that their people view the world and interact with the world and think about it. Another basic difference between military people and regular people is military people, particularly those who have been in the field, have a different relationship to life and death situations than civilians who have been at home. And this is something they share in common frequently with cops and firefighters and search and rescue people. When you're in contact with life and death situations every day, it normalizes. It has to, or you fall apart. And that changes the way that you approach a lot of things in life. And understanding that, and understanding it viscerally if you can, by going through training programs that teach you how to deal with life and death and that bring you face to face with life and death, like becoming a volunteer in your local volunteer fire department, if you've got a volunteer fire department where you are, going through paramilitary shoot house courses that you can get at various survivalist schools and those sorts of things. Those will help. Even going on ride-alongs with cops can help because, frankly, you can get caught up in action that way, or at least you could back when the crime rate was higher. If you live in a high crime area, that's one way to do it. But mastering the worldview is the most difficult part because it doesn't map linearly to anything that you've experienced as a civilian. A person that deals with life and death every day is not just you, but cool under pressure. It changes everything, but it doesn't change everything in the same way. It changes different things in different ways. There's really complex sociological, neurological, and psychological reasons that go on behind that that I could probably talk for 2 hours about and not get into with any kind of adequate depth. Okay, so we've talked about ride-alongs. We've talked about paramilitary training schools. One thing with paramilitary training schools to be careful about is if they're designed for tourists and people who are basically just curious and think it's cool, you are likely to get a level of chauvinism with the training that is not necessarily going to accurately reflect what you would experience as a military person, depending on the sort of outfit you're in. Things that are cool for civilians that are just everyday tasks for special ops people affect them in different ways. You know, it's, I've gone into a shoot house. Oh, fuck yeah. It's, we're kick ass and take names. That's something you'd think as a civilian or as someone who's getting psyched up to go into battle, but your reaction to it as someone for whom that is an everyday reality is much different. You may psych yourself up, but your normal attitude is going to be more determined and calm, and if you suffer psychological devastation from it, which you might if you have the wrong personality type, you're going to handle that in a particular set of ways that are sanctioned by the culture, and they're not the same set of ways that are sanctioned by the civilian culture. And there's a whole, that's a whole other set of topics. So we've talked about those. I would also recommend a book called Meditations on Violence. I believe it's Meditations on Violence by Rory Miller. Rory Miller actually has a few books that are really good for writers to read about the physiology and psychology of violent encounters and how the body adjusts to that and how the psychology adjusts to that. It's essential baseline reading for anyone who's writing characters that are dealing with violence as an everyday fact of life, whether they're mafiosos or military or police or what have you, police or prison guards or what have you. So we've talked about the violence aspect. We've talked about the enculturated worldview. We've talked about the different specialists. Another aspect you'll want to study is operational knowledge. Things like strategy. Read The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Read von Clausewitz. Read the classics that you would read going through military training college, like the Naval Academy, including, believe it or not, some classic military SF works. Starship Troopers, for example, is required reading at a number of the military colleges. Hunt for Red October, if it isn't still, it was for a while required reading at the Naval Academy. There's reasons that these books get picked. They either express an aspect of military philosophy very, very well, or they epitomize operational approaches well, or they discuss geopolitics with some salience. And the reading lists for the military academies, for West Point, for the Naval Academy, etc., are, as far as I know, public. So you can actually train yourself in the same course of study that someone going through officer candidate school or the Naval Academy would get trained. So that's another angle you want to approach from. If you're writing military SF on such a level that you're constructing scenarios and whatnot, you have to get a grounding in geopolitics, because geopolitics governs everything, whether we want it to or not. The best book I've read on the subject recently, it's a fantastic introduction to the subject, and it's very comprehensive, is one I recommended for other reasons a few episodes back. It's Peter Zeihan's, and that's, by the way, Zeihan, not Zion. Peter Zeihan's The Accidental Superpower. It's available from most libraries. It is fantastically accessible. It's very easy to read. It's very, very comprehensive and more than a little shocking for a run-of-the-mill civilian. You can also find several of his lectures on YouTube. Just search for his name and do filters for long-form stuff, and you'll find 8 or 10 hour-long lectures with Q&As that are very, very good to watch. And each one of them concentrates on a different area of geopolitics, either geographically or by sector. And the final area you'd want to be familiar with is weaponry. Now, if you're writing science fiction, you probably want to familiarize yourself more with futuristic weaponry, but there's some stuff we've got now that's going to be around forever, like projectile weapons are going to be around forever. They're fantastically easy to construct. With 3D printing the way it is now, it is in fact impossible to restrict the spread of weaponry, because even if you outlaw ammunition, ball bearings and pre-compressed pneumatics, which you can print out
quite easily on any 3D printer, even one with weapons control software in it. It introduces fantastic possibilities for arms supply economies in science fictional universes. So you'd want to be familiar with that. I've got a short book called Science Fiction Weaponry. It's an extract of a longer and more comprehensive chapter in my book Throwing Lead that goes through the various sorts of science fiction weaponry that have been posited and what the actual science on them is. There's been some updates on them since I wrote that chapter, so I'm actually thinking of doing a whole book on the subject next year or the year after. And that should be pretty fun, but in the meantime, check out my short book, Science Fiction Weaponry, or my longer book, Throwing Lead, A Writer's Guide to Firearms and the People Who Use Them. What else do you need to know? You did say without knowing someone from the military, and I then started right off with go talk to veterans. So I suppose it wouldn't be fair for me to just leave it there. What you want to do is you want to go meet veterans. You want to go out of your way to find them. You can do this by going to the VFW. Most science fiction conventions will have a military SF panel or two, and those are frequently staffed by veterans and attended by veterans, so you'll be able to meet some there. Keep your ears open. The people around you will have experiences that you don't have any idea of, even if you live in a small town off in the middle of nowhere. I live in a small town off on the middle of nowhere, and nobody lives here. I mean, there's 4,000 people within a 20-mile radius. It's ridiculously sparse. And two nights ago, I spent 3 hours over Chinese food discussing torture and dismemberment by the Mafia and the Viet Cong with somebody I had met that afternoon because we had a similar interest in forestry. And I'm not kidding. There's an incredible wealth of information and experience in the people around you that you probably have no idea about. And cultivating the ability to ask questions that make people comfortable speaking is one of your most valuable research tools as a writer, no matter what you're doing. Because you're dealing with human experience, and so you want to always make it a priority to understand as many different kinds of people as you can. Don't pay too much attention to their class or their religion or their race or their sex. These are signifiers, some of them are purely cultural and some of them are biological, that have cultural currency in certain limited domains, but they don't tell you a thing about that person's life experiences. And they frequently don't tell you the full story about that person's worldview. Getting someone to open up and tell you what their life is really like and what they really think about someone, it is a bit of a practiced art, but it is the most valuable single skill other than being able to communicate intelligibly that you can acquire as a writer, because it will turn every bus ride into a research opportunity. People in general are desperate to be listened to, and giving them the opportunity to tell you what's on their mind without making them afraid that you're going to judge them or that they're going to scare you will get you access to parts of the world that you never knew existed, and sometimes parts of the world you'll wish you didn't know existed, but it will make worlds of difference in the depth of your characterization and in the unexpected ways that your plots turn, and that's without you even trying. So, to that end, I would recommend as a final bit on the extensive reading list that we're compiling here, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. As crazy as it sounds, the kinds of techniques that are basic to salesmanship that he talks about in there are also basic to getting people to open up and talk about themselves. So, I hope that helps. It's certainly possible for someone who is not a veteran to write top-drawer military SF. It's been done before. It will certainly be done again. But you will have a very picky audience because the people who read military SF are frequently veterans, and even when they're not, they're certainly connoisseurs of that genre. So you really do want to mind your P's and Q's and do your research well. I hope that helps. Thanks for the question, Rob, and I'll see you tomorrow.
NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.